when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I believe he was right. Amen. Before our children are dismissed, just stay with us just a second. Have baptismal service tonight. Denise Wilkie will be being baptized. Anyone else that would like to be, that has not been, or needs baptism, then you come. You let me know before you leave today. With us today is Dean and Dana. Herb. I got the last names, Dean's. Herb, I was so concentrating on her name that I let Herb and D-A-N-N-A, Dean. And they're from, you're from the Perry area down Warner Robins area. Believes the Lord's told him to go to Rome and begin a church. He came here not this past Wednesday, but Wednesday before. I was at the house and doing some things and studying, and he called and he said, says, "My name is so-and-so, and I really need to talk to you." Well, I didn't know who Herb was, and I really wasn't sure that I cared at the time. And so I said, "Well, what do you need?" And he says, and he started telling me, you know, that he had been there and some people had told him about us, and he wanted to talk to me. So we got together. I guess we spent, what, an hour or so together talking, and had some good fellowship. And we prayed for him, Lance, Steve, and myself. And just had a good time. Sir, I want you to stand up, you and your wife, and let us welcome you. Amen. Why don't you just come up here and just, I don't know, say something. Just whatever you want to say.
Well, my wife and I have been blessed to be with you. It's different. Praise God. I guess 2 or 3 months ago, the Lord just put a burden on my heart for Rome. I really didn't know why. I'd been to Rome one time in my lifetime. And, you know, we weren't real familiar with it at all. In fact, we thought all the town was on Turner McCall, if you know anything about it. And we come to find out there is more town than Turner McCall. But we didn't venture far off of it. But I see in Rome a scattered and fragmented body. And there's a religious spirit there. Some of you know that. And I just really, you know, I'm in a comfortable place in Warner Robins. My wife and I teach at a Christian school. And we enjoy it. We're comfortable. We're not getting rich, as I told Delbert, but our needs are being met. And it's real easy to become satisfied or complacent in a place where you're comfortable. When I first moved back to Warner Robins, the Lord had given me a dream right before I moved back. And he said, and this guy, in the dream, a guy prophesied over me, and he says, "I'm going to give you a new house, but don't rebel when the thunder comes." And I sought the Lord as to what that would mean. And the Lord said, "I'm going to put you in a comfortable place. And then the time is going to come where I'm going to tell you to move." And I think I heard the thunder a little while back. And
you go to Rome, you're going to hear a whole lot more.
Right. We were up on Mount Alto the other day, and my wife said, "This is probably a bad place for lightning." Probably so. But we're just tickled to be with you, really. It's interesting, and you know, I appreciate Delbert's spirit, because I felt a kindred spirit with him, because I'm in a denominational church right now. And God put me there. I mean, I was not there necessarily by choice, but he put me there. But we have seen God move, and we've seen God change things. And God is raising up a body. I mean, it's not necessarily going to work. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is going to be answered, folks. I mean, Jesus never prayed a prayer that was not going to be answered.
Sad thing is,
that's
going to make us be one. Make us be one.
We're going to be one. And so I can come up here to Lafayette. I want to call it Lafayette, you know, but I can come up here to Lafayette and I can worship with you guys and be at home. And because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty and there's peace and there's a spirit of oneness and unity. And so I covet your prayers. Because it's not going to be easy. There's some obstacles that have to be overcome for us to get up here. And so I solicit your prayers. And I think that's one of the things, that's one of the keys to overcoming in Rome is having a prayer base. People that will pray, covenant to pray to take that city. And the Lord has told me that the land is ours. And so I praise God for that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We have these are a writing about our church. And it breaks it down as to what we do here. Ministry of the Word, praise and worship, dance. Liturgy, life enrichment ministries, prophetic ministries, some other ministries that are availed here and incorporated with this as a visitor's card. They're on the back, but sometimes they don't get handed out. And I probably need to keep them up here to be a reminder to make sure that they do get handed out. Who doesn't have one of these that you're visiting and have been here maybe a while, but you've never read this or don't know? If you have, I want to get this to you. So we won't get Herbin and his wife one. Come take him one. Dana. Anybody else? Fill that out for me, please, Herb, also the card. Anybody else now? You back there, right. The lady back there in the pink. She was here last week and wanted to make sure she wasn't getting in a cult. I don't blame her. Hey, I don't blame her. That's not, you know, I said that in a humorous way, but that's there's nothing wrong with that. Man, there's some out there, I'm telling you. Okay, children, you are dismissed. God bless you. We bless you. We bless your instructors. May you be richly blessed and endowed with the Spirit of God. Dr. Cash, next Sunday is third Sunday. How about ministering the Word of the Lord to us? You won't be around. Okay? All right. Look in your scriptures to the book of Acts. Chapter 2 will be here a couple of more weeks. It is Pentecost. This is the season of Pentecost. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. It was 1900 and I think we figured up 59 years ago. If you give the Lord Jesus 33 years, that Pentecost Sunday really, really did happen. And what we read today in our reading time as we read scriptures together and what we preached from last week on Pentecost Sunday really happened. We're going to minister from it again. What we are after here, what we're trying to come to here is we're doing a message, our messages about the church. The Lord told us a while back to start over and do some things again. Teach some things again, share some things again. And so we're doing that, and we taught some things about the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God coming, or is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is. Jesus always talked about the kingdom of God is like to. It's not going to be likened to it. The kingdom of God is likened to. He's king now. Does that mean that your kingdom now? However you want to say it, he's king now. And to me, the kingdom of God is. And then the Lord spoke to us and told us to do this, to begin to look at the church again. We want a church not formed after anything else or anybody else, but the way he wants this church to be. He said, I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I don't think he wants every church to pattern itself after other churches. We saw in the book of Revelation to the seven letters that he wrote to the seven churches that though they all got a piece of the revelation of him that is given in Revelation chapter 1, none of them got the same revelation of him. John gives the whole picture of the glorified Christ in chapter 1. And then in chapters 2 and 3, he breaks that down and he gives the Lord gives each church a revelation of him, but no two churches had the same revelation of him. We're not supposed to be like other churches. No churches are supposed to be like other churches. We got our own revelation, our own work to do. To the church at Ephesus I write. To the church at Sardis I write. To the church at... And he writes to the church and he gives them a revelation and what they're supposed to do in their city. And so the Lord's building a church. And there's the corporate church, the universal church, but there's also the individual single body church. And we want to have one that he wants, not one that's formulated after man, but formulated after him, which is the first thing that we saw from Matthew chapter 16. He asked them, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist raised again from the dead, that some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets." How many knows it really doesn't matter what we think or what we say that he is? What really matters is that he is who he is. He is what he reveals to us. He is what he says that he is. It doesn't matter if we just want to walk in water baptism and repentance like John the Baptist preached. That won't work. A lot of churches are built on that principle. That's a good principle to build on, and it's incorporated into him, but it's not what he builds on. It's wonderful if we have miracles and signs and wonders following, like Elijah, call down fire from heaven, raise the dead, work miracles, do all those things that Elijah did. That's wonderful. But that's not what he's going to build his church on. It's wonderful if we can prophesy and we believe in the prophets and we prophesy here and we move in the gifts of the Spirit, but that's not what you're going to build a church on. What the church is built on is the rock Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Upon this rock I'll build my church. And that rock is the revelation that he is the Christ, not John the Baptist, not Elijah, not one of the prophets. But he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. That's it. Nothing else. It's not what John the Baptist does. It's not what First Baptist does or First Methodist does or Christian International. It's not what they do. It's what he is. And then the church, we saw secondly of all that the church has the keys to bind or loose heaven on the earth. He says, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever things you loose on earth, I'll have already loosed in heaven. Whatsoever things you bind on earth, I'll bind them in." The church has the keys to release heaven on the earth, and I don't think the church has done a very good job of that. Because we're still got the keys in the devil's hands. Treat you big old devil. Devil's on a leash. So we saw that. And then Jesus is going to build the church. No program's going to do it. He's going to do it. I've tried all kinds of programs. Tried them here. Still trying them probably, but. And then we saw in Matthew 18 that the church is also given authority to loose and bind the kingdom of heaven on an individual. Matthew 18, we read that like it's discipline. This is how you discipline when a brother has an ought against another brother. It's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about receiving back the one that strayed away from the 99 and how we do that. And that's all incorporated into that. And I can't get into it, but also the church has the ability to loose or open heaven on an individual. Did they shut up heaven? Did the church in 1 Corinthians shut up heaven on that individual in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Did they? Yeah, they did. So that's what we're seeing. And now we're looking at Acts 2 because this is the next use of the word church. First use is in Matthew 16. Second use is in Matthew 18. Third use is in Acts 2, 47. Let's read that. Acts 2, 47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to what? To their number, to their church, day by day, those who were being saved. Now, if you have an NASV, and I don't know what NIV says, but the word number there is ecclesia. That is church. The Lord was adding to their church day by day. Their ecclesia, their called out group of people that were meeting together. That's what the word church means. I am not the church, and you individually are not the church. We corporately form the church at Lafayette. Amen? We are not the church universal, but every church universal combined together forms the church universal. There was a teaching a while back about individuals being the church. You are a stone in the church. You're a joint of supply. We need you. You need us. But you're not the church individual. You need to come together to be with the church. Now, last week we talked about Pentecost, which is verses 1 through verse 13. We talked about Pentecost. And what we're wanting to do is find out what makes a church that the Lord adds to daily. What were they doing? What was this group of people doing that brought that church, their church, to a place where the Lord could add to them daily? I still believe the Lord wants to add daily. Do you? And I believe that the secrets are in here, and that if we will conform to this image, then we can come closer to forming to the kind of a church that the Lord Jesus wants to build, and one that He will send people to be ministered to by. The church that He will build. And the first thing that we saw to get to that part where the Lord adds to the church daily, the first thing that we saw is there must be Pentecost. Pentecost has to happen. We saw that last week, and I'm not talking about talking in tongues. People associate Pentecost with talking in tongues. When you say Pentecost, and I'm going to write a news article, it's my turn in the Ministerial Association this week to write the newspaper article for the Ministerial Association. I'm going to write about Pentecost. But I'm not going to write about talking in tongues. I've seen a lot of people that talked in tongues that I'm not sure was of God. I've seen some people that talked in tongues that I know were not filled with the Spirit. Not, at least not the Holy Spirit. Some of the people that I've seen talk in tongues are some of the meanest, wickedest, vilest people I've ever met. So I'm not talking about being filled with the Spirit so you can talk in tongues. I'm talking about Pentecost. Being filled with the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit and have a Spirit-filled life. I'd a lot rather see people that were filled with the Spirit and had a Spirit-filled life than people that talked in tongues. What about you? Is that good, Willis? So we got to have Pentecost. That's the first thing to come to this place where we have a church where the Lord builds and the Lord adds. It's got to be a church that has Pentecost, that puts themselves in a posture, in a place to be filled by the Spirit. The church must be a place where we can come and be filled by the Spirit. Now, let me make real sure I was clear on that point. How many of you know I talk in tongues? I talk in tongues anytime I want to. I talk in tongues right now. And I want you to talk in tongues. But I want you to be filled with the Spirit more. Because my talking in tongues shows that I have a prayer language, that I can pray to God about things I don't understand. I can pray to Him. I can sing in the Spirit. I can worship Him. It brings me to a new dimension. But being filled with the Spirit is what it's about, isn't it? I don't believe that you can have a New Testament church without the Holy Ghost. So the first thing that we find to have this church that the Lord adds to daily is to have Pentecost. Now the second thing that we're going to see here is preaching. Peter preaches. Where is that? Right there. This chapter is broken down into four parts. First of all, it's Pentecost. Second of all, it's Peter's preaching. Thirdly of all, 3,000 souls repent and are water baptized. And fourthly of all, you find out that people devote themselves to and continue in seven different things. These four things lead to number five, which is the church that the Lord will add to daily. So, here's what we're building. And to get to that place where the Lord adds to the church daily, we've got to have Pentecost, we've got to have correct preaching, we've got to have repentance and baptism, and we've got to continue in some things. And that's why I'm taking time through here. And that's why I'm trying to bring these things forth in a way that we'll grasp them and change our thinking. What does repentance mean? Change the thinking. Repent, John said. Start thinking differently, Jesus said. Repent. Kingdom of God's here. Think like the kingdom of God thinks. And I want to read Peter's preaching. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. And you'll notice that this preaching goes from 14 through 35, which shows me that it is the largest portion of this chapter, which tells me that preaching is important in a church. Do you think so? It is from the preaching that we form our doctrines. For what we preach and what we sing is where we form our doctrines and form what we really believe. The largest part of this chapter is Peter's preaching, not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not talking in tongues. Correct doctrine. Verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all you who are live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." Let me stop there first and point out a few things in case I fail to mention them later. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to lost Gentiles? Is he talking to lost people? Or is he talking to people that believe in God, just need to get their thinking right? Read that and see what you think. What does your Bible say? Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem. And back up in verse 5, now there were Jews. Were Jews pretty religious? There was Jews living in Lafayette. Devout men. Love God. Goodness, they love God. So these are people that aren't lost. These are people that know God and devout people, but need to get some things right. Give heed to my words. Verse 15, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. What time would that be? 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that, or this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last day, says God, that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. I think King James says flesh. Is that correct? It's mankind. That's the better translation. And you'll notice that in mankind you have both male and female. How many of you are males? Raise your hand. How many of you are females? Raise your hand. See, we have both male and female. All mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, will women be able to prophesy? And your men shall see visions, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my bond slaves, both men and women. It was kind of emphasis there, both men and women, sons and daughters. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before. That's interesting to me that it's before the great and glorious day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered by the predetermined, in the King James Bible, says, no, I read, my Bible says predestined, now predetermined. And what does the King James Bible say? Determined. This man, delivered by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. I'm gonna get it again in a minute, but who offered up Jesus Christ as the sacrifice? Did the devil do it? Has anybody in here ever been taught that the devil did it? Danny has, and I have. I was taught that the devil did it. Folks, God did that. That's what Isaiah 53 says. Is that right? Pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, that's not the way we're thinking. But what we've got to see, if you don't understand the predetermined, predestined, ordained plans of God, then you will see a great big devil. God is God. That's why they call him God. And the devil is on a leash. And he lets out about how much leash he wants him to have. And in the book of Revelations, you see this because it's always the angels that come down out of heaven and open up these pits that let them out. But somebody's got to let them out. God lets them out. God lets the leash out. God predestines from the foundations of the world. God is bigger than the devil. Please notice in this reading that not one mention of the devil is there. Predestined and foreknowledge of God, who nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul in Hades, or to Hades, to hell, nor allow the Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you, regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, because of this, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, where is he at? He's not a baby anymore, right? Is he on the cross? We've got to get him out of the manger. We've got to get him off the cross. And where we've got to put him? He's at the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne right now. That's where he's at. Usually when you sit on the throne, it means you're king, right? You're not going to be a king. When you sit down there, that usually means you're king when you sit down there, right? And Jesus is sitting there right now. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Do you see that the Holy Spirit is something you see and hear? For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord. No, I read that wrong. That God will make him one day, far off in the millennium, both Lord and Christ. Is that right? When is he Lord and Christ? This Jesus whom you crucified. Now, what I want to talk about today, in these next few moments, is I want to give you 5 points of preaching. I want to share with you what I think preaching is supposed to be. And it's drawing 5 points from Peter's sermon. If you look at Peter's sermon, you'll see that to come to the point where to have a church where God will number them, add to their number day by day, there must be preaching. There must be preaching, but the preaching must be, there's enough preaching going on, isn't there? But the preaching must be in some sort of doctrinal or apostolic guidelines. So what we want to do is just not preach, but we want to say something. I have problems with preaching. Maybe it's preachers I have problems with, but anyway, the thing is that it seems to me that the major way that I minister to people, that I make disciples, is sitting down with them more one-on-one. I love it when people have me over to their house and we sit and open scriptures and we just communicate. It seems that I have much more impartation into their lives as they ask questions and we dialogue. That's why I love our care group so much. That we're just knitting together, it seems like, and we're forming. That's why I love these AM prayer times that we have here so much. For 5 years we met together and we would just sit, and we're still doing it, by the way, but we would meet together and we'll go through scriptures and we'll read them and we'll talk about them, and there seems to be much more camaraderie when you can communicate one-on-one than there is when you blast out a sermon. So I'm saying that I know that lives are changed by preaching, but I think that you've got to get faith. And the first point that I want to make is this one. The first point, I think, of preaching is that you've got to see this is that. What Peter is saying here is that the scriptures are true. That everything that the scriptures say is true. Would you say that back to me? Everything that the scriptures say is true. Let's all say it one more time. Everything that the scriptures say is true. Now that means when a preacher preaches to you, he got to come from the Word of God. This is that which Joel prophesied about. He gives three scriptures, and then he talks about each one of those scripture references. He reads or he quotes the scripture, and then he dialogues from that scripture, and he explains what that scripture is meaning. Now, the first thing and you can judge me today. I want you to evaluate me to see if I am a biblical preacher. Now, understand, if you judge me, that I get to judge you. Is that biblical? Judge not lest you. So you can judge me if you want. But the first thing that a preacher must do is be biblical. He must know that this is that. This is what the Word says. This is what's happening. This is that. Now, so when I preach to you, let me use a couple. When I preach to you about praise, and I tell you that dancing is a form of praise, is that biblical? If I preach to you that instruments are a form of praise, is that biblical? If I preach to you, if you want to have a good marriage, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, is that biblical? You see, the reason that we have mess ups, the reasons that things go badly for us, is not because the Word isn't true. It's because we're not applying the Word. You're having problems in your marriage. It's one of probably two reasons. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You're not loving your wife. Or two, wives, submit to your what? Your own husbands. That's the truth. But do you know people have really gotten mad at me because I preached that? You know people left this church because I preached that? Do you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 it talks about the man being the head of the house? And that Christ is the head of the man and that the man is the head of the woman? But do you know that people have left this church because I preached that? What about, let's use another one. Now this is that. Remember, that this is, it's got to be the Word of God. This is that. What about giving? Is tithing a biblical principle? Did Jesus say, you ought to tithe? Matthew 23, verse 23. You ought to tithe. So when I preach giving or I preach tithing, is that biblical? Is this that? So if you're having problems with your finances, what is probably the very first thing you need to look at? Give and it shall be given unto you. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that Malachi says, you've robbed me in the tithe. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see. Test me in this, saith God, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you shall not have room to contain. But what have you got to do first? Tithe, and then? So, it's got to be this is that. Biblical preaching has got to be from the Word of God, not what I think, not what you think. What I've got to be able to tell you is what the Word says, no matter if you leave the church or not. Do elders rule or do we vote? Talk to me now. There's a way of doing things. Biblical preaching must be from the Word of God, no matter what you say or what I think or what I do. The reasons that we have problems is because we do not do the Word of God. The way you will know if anybody does the Word of God is by their life. You know a tree by its fruit. Where he says that in Matthew 7, he's talking about ministry. This is that. Number one, scriptures are true. Number two, second thing that I see that we must have in preaching is God will use all of his people. Verses 17 and 18 talks about sons and daughters, talks about men and women, it talks about the bond slaves of God. What I want to tell you from here is that it's not a one-man show anymore. I think there has to be a leader. I think elders are plural. But I think that the Bible, particularly the New Testament, talks about the body of Christ. That there must be men and women, both a plural, men is plural, women is plural. There must be a body of people. We've gone for a long time, particularly in denominational settings, and we go and we're entertained. And, you know, the preacher preaches and that's it. Folks, that's not New Testament. What the New Testament church is going to do is the body is going to supply to one another. We are fitly framed, jointed together. The Bible teaches about the body of Christ, which members you are. Say, I'm a member. Is membership biblical? Look out now. Look out now. We're in the charismatic thing. We don't have membership cards. We don't have them here yet. Did you hear me? Said, we don't have them here yet. There's something about being a member of something that you love it, that you care for it, that you want to be there. In the charismatic world, man, we threw away all that stuff. Oh, I'm a member of the body of Christ Universal. I just float around and do anything I want to. And that's what they do. Float around. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Hey, I've been there. I know. There's something about being a member of something that makes you perform in that nothing works in my body except what's in my body. There's something about that. There's a dedication. There's a sincerity. There's something about that. Members in particular. It's a body. Men and women. I don't have a bit of problems with women preachers. Women pastors? I don't know yet. I'm not formulating anything. Women preachers? Women prophets? It's just hard for a woman to be a husband or one wife. And I don't know what all that means, so don't say now, listen, he's down. I am not down on women. Judy, am I down on women? I don't know, you know? Number three. You got to see this. There is a predestined or predetermined or determined foreknowledge plan of God. If I want you to hear anything, I want you to hear that. Because if you don't believe that, then what you're going to have is a huge devil. And every time something goes wrong in your life, you're going to say the devil did it. You got to understand, he reigns on the just and the unjust. You got to understand, in the book of Job, the devil comes to accuse you. He is the accuser of the brethren, Revelation 12. You got to understand the works of the devil. But the only time he can get you is when God lets him get to you. There is the predestined, preordained, preplanned God. Look at chapter 4 here. Just flip over maybe a page. Maybe you don't have to flip. I don't know. But it's in chapter 4, verse 27. What's happened here is they've arrested some of the apostles, taken them, beaten them, and all this stuff. They come back now to an upper room, and it may be the same upper room that we're in here in chapter 2. Maybe not. Anyway, they're in there praying, and the place is shaking. This is where this is happening at in verse 27. Here they come back. For truly in this city there were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever they wanted. Is that what your Bible says? To do whatever. Are you with me in chapter 4? Nobody's answering. 4:28. To do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Did God raise up Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Roman Gentiles to crucify Christ? Or did they just do it because they wanted to do it? Now, you know, you get this predestined thing and you can say, well, why do we pray? Why do we do anything? Because you're called and chosen. You're supposed to. You will. I'm not pushing that to the point that you don't have to do nothing. And you got to hear me balanced it. Right now I'm preaching predestination of God and the preordained plan. Later on, I'll preach the other side of the thing. But just stay with me right now. God is God.
Hallelujah.
And the devil is real. He really is. Did he raise up Pharaoh? And what did he do with him? Did Pharaoh harden his own heart? What does your Bible say? 10 times he hardened Pharaoh's heart. God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a preordained, foreknowledge plan. He has this plan. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, you'll find out that predestined, preordained plan of God is so that the church can manifest a witness of the manifold wisdom of God to the powers and principalities in spiritual places. Which is ties up directly with number 4, which God delivered Jesus to be sacrificed, not the devil. God did it. Isaiah 53 tells you God's going to do it. Right here, we'll find out God did do it. God did it. And if you don't grasp a hold of what I've just told you, you have a big devil, and you're wanting to escape, and you're wanting to run, and everything that goes bad is the devil, and you won't never deal with your flesh because the devil did it. You won't never look into your life about your finances and see what's wrong with your finances as long as you got the devil doing it. You won't never get your marriage straightened out as long as you think the devil's doing it. You won't never be faithful in the church as long as you think the devil's doing it, keeping you out of here. You're out of here because you don't want to come. Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus didn't preach a big devil. Paul didn't preach a big devil. Peter don't preach a big devil. Only thing Paul says about the devil much is that he's the only place the devil can have is the place you get. Now. He's even over the house of Israel now. Where is he seated? Where is he seated? I asked you a while ago. Tell me. Where is he seated? At the right hand of God. He's not in the manger. He's not on the cross. He's in the throne. Revelation 3, verse 23 says, sit at my right hand. Well, let me start again. He said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I sit with my Father in his throne. Even as I overcame and sit with my Father in his throne. Jesus is in the throne. He ever liveth to make intercessions for us. He is already exalted above every name. He is already, every tongue right now, every tongue needs to confess him as Lord. He is Lord, he's King, he's Christ now. It's not going to be something that happens, it is now. And I don't understand all I'm telling you, I just know that he is. I know that the Bible is true. I don't understand all the Bible. I make mistakes. Sometimes I tell you wrong. But I know that it's true. I know that he's Christ, King, and Lord now. Songs we sing, the messages we preach, the things that we do here is orchestrated around that thought. Are you saying that we're in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? I don't know. I don't care. He's Lord now. Are you pre-tribulation rapture?
Who cares?
Who cares? You must be post. Who cares? I do know that Paul said this. Through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom of God. Those are the 5 things that I see preachers should preach to have a church where the Lord will add to daily those that will be saved. Salvation, remember, is not a one-time affair. It is daily deliverance over the power of the devil. God wants people that live daily overcoming lives over the devil. I hear Bishop Hammond say this, so I'm going to use it. It's just on my mind right now. How many of you believe you can go 1 minute without sinning? If you can go 1 minute without sinning, raise your hand. Right hand. Everybody in here better raise their hand now, because... Okay. How many can go maybe 10 minutes? 10 minutes. Maybe you can go a day. Maybe you can go an entire day. Now, I know we're going to lose some now. How many can go a day maybe without sinning? You feel like you might can make a day. You might could. By the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you, that you probably might could, if you really gave your heart and life to it, you might could make a whole day without sinning.
Can or how?
You could. You might could. Could you do a week? Maybe by the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you think that you might could stretch that 1 minute and that 10 minutes and that one day, maybe into a whole week? Sure. See, the thought is that we're to live a life of overcoming. We're to live a daily life. We're to be saved all the time from the devil. The only time he can do anything to me is if I give him a place, man. Or if God lets him. Yeah. So, you judge me. Number one, do I teach the word of God here? Do I preach you the word of God? This is that. Number two. Do I encourage, preach to you body ministry? Men and women, boys and girls, all of mankind. Do I bring forth both kinds of ministries here? Do I have women prophets and women preachers? Do I do that? Do we do that here? Number three. Do I believe and do I preach to you that God has a predestined, planned, and ordained foreknowledge purpose that he has for us, for you, for this whole area, for the whole world, for his whole creation? Do I preach that to you? Number four, do I preach you a big God and a little devil, or a big devil and a little God? You won't hear a whole lot about the devil around here. And number five, are you preached and taught that he is King, Christ, and Lord now? One thought about the Lord. Covenantal name. What you got to do in the new covenant is you come into a new lordship. What these guys are going to do next week is they're going to be baptized, all 3,000 of them. They're going to be baptized into a new name. Old covenant name is, you know this, talk. You just don't want to, do you? You're not sure of it yet. It's there. Old covenant name is Jehovah. That's the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. New covenant name, Jesus, the Christ. You're baptized. You're not baptized into Jehovah. You're not Jehovah's Witnesses. He says, go forth into all the nations and be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the most parts of the world. New covenant, you come into the new name. The name that is above every name. Do you believe that Jesus is above Jehovah's name? You got to think. Is it above every name? Sure. Now, I know that was a little heavy and a little hard, so I just drop it and plant it and let it grow. You look it up and you see. Had Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, took them in. But Come on in. Sit down with me. This guy was wanting to get out of my house. Because I am not a witness for Jehovah. I am a witness for Jesus Christ. That's about got me confused. So that's how we judge, and that's the churches. Now listen, here's the deal. If this is not that, if we're not going to have a Pentecost, we're not going to let the Holy Ghost fill this place and fill our lives. If we're not going to have good preaching, if we're not going to continue and stay steadfast in the apostles' doctrines and those seven things that are going to be there, and if we're not going to repent, if we're not going to continuously start thinking different, as the Holy Ghost gives us inspiration and instructions and truth, then let's shut this thing down and let's all go someplace where they will. Or let's hire us a preacher that will. Let me sit down. But let's do something. But let's go ahead right now and decide that this is what we're going to do. That nothing else is going to matter. We're going to have the kind of a church that the Lord will add daily to. And that if this is what we've got to do, we've got to do one, then let's do it.
And if I'm not doing it, then I need to find me something else to do. And if you're not doing it, you need to get straightened out and find what's wrong with you and get to doing it. We have got to come to verse 47. And you got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 30, 2, 1, 2, all the way to 47 to get there. And if you're not in these things, then adjust. I just preach to you what I'm supposed to be doing. And if I'm not doing it, then I've got to adjust. How many want to do that? Want a church, man, that God will add to daily. Raise your hand. That people can be saved in. Father, let's say it together. Father, say it with me. Father, give us a church. Lord Jesus, build a church right here that you can add to daily. Those that should be saved. We decree it. We open up the kingdom of heaven for it. And we loose it upon our lives. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Give us a Pentecost. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our Savior, our Christ, and our King. In His name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Nothing else matters, people. Nothing else matters except having that. Time to quit. God bless you.